We are here with Ms. Regan Benson is our guest today on RP Grinders. This is Frank. And Regan is a free speech activist, a homeless advocate, and you've got several titles. I couldn't find the names, all the names of your nonprofits. Do you still do the kid nonprofit that you had going on, Ms. Benson?
No, Frank, we're not doing that one anymore.
Okay.
But that is how I did get started in the nonprofit world. And yeah, we did do a lot of good work with Every Student Matters Project, but we have dissolved that nonprofit. And I myself have formed this nonprofit, Helping Hands for Dignity Coalition.
Yes.
That does direct reach with the homeless.
Yeah. I do want to talk about that because I think that's probably the most important thing to talk about in this interview. By the way, thank you. Thank you for doing this interview.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I want to actually start, if you don't mind, with, and I don't have a sheet in front of me. I do all my interviews kind of natural, so you'll have to bear with me on where we go with this interview. But I do want to talk about the, I came across your videos on YouTube. It's odd. You live in, I believe, Littleton or Denver. I live in Denver. I've lived here all my life. I'm a native. And I have noticed for years problems with the police department, homeless people, and we're going to get into all of that. But I'm going to start by asking you about the Planet Fitness, incident. Actually, it was a King Super / police / Planet Fitness. Can you take me through the timeline of all of that? Because I think I've got a very, very good understanding of what happened, but I want to hear from your angle what the whole deal was with Planet Fitness.
Yeah, you bet. That was a wild day. So I've had this long-standing relationship with Planet Fitness, and I love Planet Fitness. I loved that club that I was going to there on Bellevue in Littleton, which, by the way, it borders Littleton and Inglewood. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the King Supers. I think it's just really important to note that the King Supers is actually in Inglewood and the Planet Fitness is in Littleton, and they're mm-hmm. right next door to each other. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'd had this relationship with Planet Fitness, and then COVID hit, and I refused to wear a mask. I wasn't going to work out with a mask, so I had canceled my membership. Well, I just had learned the week before that I went in there on that Saturday that they had changed the restrictions, and we didn't have to wear masks working out anymore. So it was actually my very first day back mm-hmm. to that club in more than 6 months. And I went in there, I worked out, I had reactivated my membership, spent a little bit of time at the front desk. And I went in there about 5 o'clock, left Planet Fitness at about 10 to 7 and went directly over to King Supers mm-hmm. to do some grocery shopping.
Right.
Right before I walked out the door, I saw a Littleton police vehicle sitting in the parking lot. And I thought, oh, well, what's going on over there? Because I am always in tune with evaluating whether or not I need to record.
Right.
I'm very cautious always about recording on private property. However, parking lots in shopping centers that collect sales tax, these are areas where the public is and can be and can record. So I stepped out the door and I saw these cops, and I didn't have my glasses on. Mm-hmm. I saw what I thought were a couple cops. I wasn't sure, but I saw two women mm-hmm. standing by a car. I kind of watched as I walked over to my car, which was the opposite direction. And it was only about 30 feet from the front door where mm-hmm. I was parked.
Right.
And so I paused momentarily at my car for about 20 seconds just to watch the interaction some more. It didn't seem like anything, was going on. And in my mind, I thought, okay, well, car accident or whatever. It mm-hmm. seemed minor. Mm-hmm. I go over to King Supers, And I'm doing my shopping. And my cart, I mean, I'm talking, I'm doing serious grocery shopping.
Right.
Middle-aged woman grocery shopping with all my gluten-free products in my
Right.
wandering the store, just filling it up. I'd been in that store for an hour. And I had never one time seen a cop, nothing in that store. I was about to go check out, and I needed to go down the chip aisle.
Right.
And as I start getting towards the beer aisle, which was by the front of the store, it's right in front of the service desk, because I'm going to go down the beer aisle to get to the chip aisle, I see these two cops come towards me.
Right.
Presumably, they had just come in the door because the entrance to the store is right there by the service desk. But I didn't even pay any attention to him because I was more concerned about this little lady in front of me. This little old lady, she kind of seemed to stop like dead in her tracks when she saw these cops. Two very large men, as you could see from that video,
Right,
right?
right, right.
Heavily tatted up. I mean, they literally look like warriors
Right.
walking through the grocery store, right?
Right.
So I was more in tune with what this little lady in front of me was doing because she, I don't know if she was going to stop or fall over or what, but anyway, they walked past both of us, the cops did, and that little lady kind of went on her way, and I just went around her and I go down the beer aisle and I'm kind of hauling to get to the chips, and it catches my eye. I'm like, oh, I need to see if they have Leinenkugel.
Right,
Summer
right.
shandy is my big thing.
Right.
And
I
so
tell you, I
I
wish I
stopped
had a
deer in my
Leinenkugel
tracks.
right now, to be honest with you, Ms. Benson. It's
Right.
102 degrees out in Denver right now. But yes, continue. I'm
Yeah.
sorry.
You need a summer shandy for sure.
Yeah.
So I stopped dead in my tracks. You can imagine if you will, you're pushing your cart and you're like, oh yeah. And so I go to back up, and these two cops are literally standing directly behind me. I'm saying maybe 2 to 3 feet.
Right.
And I stopped and I looked them up and down. I'm like, I'm in no mood for this.
Right.
I'm just going to keep going forward to the chip aisle.
Right.
I take about 10 more steps, and that officer, Bouchard,
Yeah.
the guy with the sleeve,
Yeah, he looks like a real peach, by the way. To describe this guy, warriors is a very apt description. He probably was what, 6'2", 230, like just a big, intimidating guy with tats. And you got to check out the video.
bald head,
Yeah,
sunglasses on the head.
right. Yeah, so you stopped.
Well, he gets in front of my cart and literally stops me right in my tracks again. He says, I need you to stay right here.
Right.
And I paused and I looked over to my left at the other cop that was with him. I said, for what? I just need you to stay right here for a minute. And I'm going to tell you, right at that point, my heart sunk to my feet
Right.
because I honestly thought there was something very bad about to go down in King Soopers. We've had the shooting in Boulder. King Soopers just isn't a great place nowadays. It's not a happy place, let's
Right.
say.
Right.
And I immediately went to instinctive self-defense training into the fight or flight mode in my mind.
Right.
And I needed to evaluate what was going on, situational awareness, because my heart was racing. I felt my palms getting sweaty, and I'm watching him, and I'm watching their body language, because the number one thing I was waiting for was them to put their hands on their weapons.
Right, because I mean, that's the MO for police. It used to be back in the day, you could trust that cops would do their job and not just automatically go for their gun. It used to be a very noble and very unsafe job, because it just the way that it was back in the day, but nowadays it seems like it's a lot safer because cops will go right to the gun. I mean, that's just kind of the MO. I mean, is that kind of how you feel or felt at that moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Safer. Safer for who? I mean, that's really the question.
Right. Safer for them, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So I was watching their body language, and when I was able to determine that there wasn't like a direct immediate threat, I continued to watch Bashard because he kept peeking his head across that display, looking down the chip aisle. And you can see it in the video. And there was a woman down there in that aisle. Just one lone woman. And she clearly looked like she was just shopping for chips. And so I started watching her. I thought, okay, are they watching her? Is she about to do something? Is she shoplifting?
Was there any indication from this officer at the beginning? Like you pulled up the video probably a little late into the game there. Did he give you any indication why he was detaining you at that point?
Absolutely. None. Absolutely none. And that's, you're right. That's a good point because I didn't start recording because that wasn't the first thing on my mind. My safety was the first thing on my mind. And so when that woman in that chip aisle grabbed her chips and walked away, I looked around. I said, "What are you doing? I told you, you need to stay here." I said, "No, I'm going to continue my shopping unless you tell me why I need to stay here." I said, "Otherwise, get the fuck out of my way so I can continue my shopping." And he said, "You're not going anywhere." And he put his hand on my cart again. First, he stepped in front of it. Now he's physically using his hand so I can't push my cart. I said, "You better tell me what you're doing. Just a minute." I said, "Uh-uh." I said, "You want to get stupid like this?" I said, "We're going to get this on camera."
And
He
that's
knew.
And that's where the video picks up, correct?
Correct. Correct. And I have been through some interesting times with some criminal cases for things like this, interference of government charges, just different things. And over the years, I've learned from my defense attorneys what presents well in front of a jury. So I instantly said in my mind, I need to present well in front of a jury because if something goes down right now, we're going to trial because I don't know what the hell they're doing. So that was part of the reason for a bit of that cooperation that you saw in that video. I mean, I've kind of been drug over the coals about, answering too many questions and, being a hypocrite. But it's just not true. If you go through my channel, I know exactly how to read these situations. I'm not perfect, but I've had plenty of experience to know that when the shit actually hits the fan, that's when the conversation's going to end and they're either going to arrest me or I'm going to walk off. But let me premise that by saying I've also been in some very horrible situations with law enforcement where I've been assaulted. I was thrown through double doors. I've had my rotator cuff torn. I wasn't looking for a physical altercation. And by walking away, I'm pretty sure that I had a 99.9% guarantee that that cop was going to go hands on with me if I just walked away.
From my experiences, I've had similar experiences. I've never been arrested or anything of that nature, but they are, I mean, it's been proven time and time again. They love to put hands on people for no reason. I mean, you can see First Amendment audit videos where people are just trying to exercise their rights, and they hate that, and they just love, to get physical with people. And it's even worse when you start using language and stuff like that, which, I'm a big proponent. I used to be a proponent to not say those type of things to cops, like not be aggressive with police officers. But if you look at a lot of the videos, like they're dishing out things 10 times worse than what anybody could say to them. And
100%.
I think it actually is beneficial to be boisterous and stand up for yourself. regardless if they put you in handcuffs or not. Would you agree with that, or do you?
I agree 101%. And in that particular instance, I did nothing of that sort. And look how they continue to treat me.
Right. And now when the video picks up, to get back to the video, I think it's either a minute or 2 minutes into the video, and the guy, I think Bashir is his name, still wouldn't give you a reason why he was detaining you, which I the last time I checked was completely legal.
Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't until almost, towards the end of that. And I will say a lot of people are, rallying for me to initiate a lawsuit for an illegal detainment. I have had that video looked at by a prominent civil rights attorney here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I know from my history with law enforcement, you have to prove damages.
Right.
Those civil rights violations, they're not, it's not, that doesn't, the courts aren't interested in taking up every case that comes in there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has to have merit, and you have to prove damages. And being detained for 5 minutes when I technically could have walked away was not a civil rights violation. And that the attorney told me exactly that. He said, "Regan, I'm sorry. You're right. There's no damages here. And you didn't have to say a single word, and you could have kept walking." And right. Any judge is going to say the same thing.
Right.
So I just wasn't willing to risk him going hands on.
You see, that's the thing. Like, it's one thing to stand up for your rights, but it's another thing to not get beat up. You know what I mean? Like that. That's the last thing that anybody really wants. I mean, I've seen countless videos, and it's even worse if you're a minority. You know, I hate to bring this up and put this into context here, but I've seen videos. I don't know if you've ever seen a guy named Big Nick. He's out of South Florida. He's a very prominent First Amendment auditor, and he got fed up with the bullshit in Florida, and I feel like a person like him, I feel like it's even worse for a guy like him. If it would have been him in your situation, I have a feeling those cops would have went hands on, no doubt. It's a sad state to be in that position in the first place. You didn't deserve what you got that day. And I actually saw that video from a recommendation of San Joaquin Valley Transparency, who's another big First Amendment auditor. I mean, there's a ton of big First Amendment. And I'm glad that kind of movement is going. Now, sometimes, people have issues with their methods of how they do their First Amendment audits, but in my view, I don't care how they do their audits. The point is they're sticking up for something that is super important in the United States that's being attacked right now, and that leads me to why the cops stopped you in the first place. I think it leads to a bigger problem that people aren't paying attention, and it's privacy. Now, what exactly did you in the video eventually get the reason why they stopped you, correct?
Yeah. They're investigating a third degree burglary.
A third degree burglary, correct. Okay.
And I said, so you're investigating a third degree burglary and you're investigating me for third degree burglary? And he said, yes.
Oh my goodness. How did they come to stop you? What was their reasoning?
Bashard says, eventually, when I asked that other cop how they were able to physically identify me, you can see that other cop just go completely dumbfounded
right.
in the face.
Right.
And he looks at Bashard, and Bashard right away, well, you fit the description of a suspect, and here you are, standing right in front of us, the person that fits the description of the suspicious acting person. What was he saying? That I was acting suspicious.
Right. You were acting, because that's their go-to. If they have nothing else, you're suspicious. And then, I see a lot of these videos, and I'm going to start doing my own First Amendment audits here in Denver because I think it's sorely needed, especially with
Perfect. Let's do them together.
absolutely, any day, Ms. Benson, we'll get out there and do it. Did you ever in your mind, like when you figured out that you were being detained for quote unquote third degree burglary, which we'll get to, how Planet Fitness fits into all this. And I think that actually is the bigger issue. And I think you would probably agree with that. But did you ever just think in your mind, maybe it's just best just to not say anything and let them do what they're going to do?
I guess. But I was a bit in shock because the elements of burglary I know have to fit me breaking into something
Right.
and somewhere a cash register, a place of
A
business.
locker
And
or yeah.
yeah. Well, no, not even not even a locker.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the first thing that came to my mind was my nonprofit work. Okay,
Like you
because it
were
is so, yeah, it's
I was
so
gonna ask
important.
you I was gonna I'm sorry to interrupt, but I was gonna ask you about that. Did you feel it was tied to your advocacy and your nonprofit work? Because I would think from your perspective that would be a thought in your mind.
Yes, I did. I did. Because we have some issues going on out on the streets. With some people that are living homeless. Look, there's a lot of people out there that aren't on the up and up. And some of these guys have been committing burglary and stealing cars and things like that. And that was one of the first things that came to my mind. Did I somehow associate myself with one of these guys that, did this? Yeah, I'll give people on occasion, I'll take them to the grocery store to get supplies, materials, One of the things I never do, though, is go into any stores with any of the people that I help. And the reason being is because it is a known fact that the homeless will steal to survive or to meet whatever needs, and I cannot be associated with that. And I work very hard not to be. So yeah, that was the first thing that came to my mind. I thought, there's no way. I didn't do any of this. All of my people are good. Everybody's, well right now. That's what got the wheels turning in my mind. And I am quick, probably too quick, to defend my work and my actions because it's always being scrutinized.
Well, I'm gonna get into your advocacy with the homeless in a minute, and I'll when we get to that point, I'll tell you kind of like a general mindset about the homeless. I actually think that the way the police, and I think I emailed you this with my first email to you, Ms. Benson, about my feelings that the way that the police treat the homeless is directly, and it's a direct correlation to the way they treat people in general. And it picking on the homeless is a pastime of theirs, and I think they use that as training to treat everybody else. So they perfect their craft of lying. They're able to lie to people. They're not the Supreme Court has ruled that they are not responsible for anybody's safety, which I believe is another problem. There's problems with qualified immunity and a bunch of actual, systemic racism. I mean, there's so many things tied to the way these people handle the homeless, and I think it's kind of a training ground for, the way that they treat everybody else. Because if they can get away with it with these people and perfect their craft, they can get away with it with almost anybody. And not enough people know their rights, and homeless people definitely don't. They're kind of disconnected from the world. They don't have the luxury of looking on YouTube and looking at your videos or my podcast or First Amendment audits. They just don't know their rights, and I'm glad there's people like you out there that are advocates, you know, that try to defend off. Like I even saw a video of yours, it was probably about a year ago, where you just told a cop to fuck off when they were bothering the homeless. And you know, an outsider looking at those type of videos would say, you know, you're probably a little too aggressive. And in my view, I don't think it was aggressive enough. I think that people should pick up their cameras and go after these assholes, because that's what they are. You know, they kind of use their power to lord over other people, and that's not the way that things should be. You know, back in the day, cops would have batons. They would very rarely go for their guns. They would patrol the streets in a manner where people respected them, and they knew they could go to them for help. It's not that way anymore. It really isn't. They're not, cops are not on the streets to help anybody anymore. They're in it. Yeah, they're in it for themselves, and you know, to lord power over other people, which is exactly what they were doing in that King Soopers with you. Now, to conclude that story, Ms. Benson, what was the actual thing that they were looking for? Somebody from, I'm guessing, the way that I gather is somebody got their purse stolen from Planet Fitness or something.
Well, ultimately, what I ended up learning, I mean, you know, I figured by the time he was questioning me about a black backpack, it was about somebody's backpack getting stolen. But ultimately, what I ended up learning over the course of the next couple of days was that, yes, the victim had called and said that items from her backpack were stolen. Mm-hmm. Because I kept pushing the fact when I made calls to the Littleton Police Department the next day and to Planet Fitness. I mean, it's clear I didn't walk out of there with a black backpack. I didn't walk in with one. I didn't walk out with one.
Right.
And everybody kept, you know, divulging information about how this all took place. And supposedly whoever this person was took this woman's credit cards and went and spent money at King Soopers and Dairy Queen, which is right next to Planet Fitness as well. But I will say, this is all hearsay.
Uh-huh.
I have yet to see this police report. I did a records request for that. I will say that Littleton PD command staff has been very responsive. They've been very polite about how they're handling this. Mm-hmm. I got a call from an investigator the next morning after I made and paid for the case report. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I'm currently investigating this. You know, we can't release this during an active investigation. Yes, I understand all of that. How long do you think this investigation is going to take? Mm-hmm. Well, you never know with these financial crimes. I said, well, it's interesting. Boy, you sure had me pegged right away. I mean, I would think, you know, that video that you're going to get your hands on is certainly going to give you those answers. And I said, I just have one other question for you. Am I named in that case report?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, there is one sentence in here about you being contacted at King Soopers. I said, oh, well, naturally they needed to put that in there because they got caught. I said, mm-hmm. So clearly I'm not a suspect.
Right.
And he said, no.
Right.
So I'm just waiting on that case report. But the whole thing is so odd in response anyway. The police are just not this responsive to someone getting their backpack stolen inside of a private business that makes people sign a waiver of liability that they aren't responsible for their personal belongings. If you get your stuff stolen, you're SOL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this partnership that Planet Fitness has with law enforcement is outrageously bizarre, to the point that Will, the manager of Planet Fitness, admitted that they've been cooperating with these law enforcement investigations by releasing everyone's name.
This is
that is in
yeah. Yeah, this is probably the biggest takeaway from this particular incident, and I think it's the most egregious, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong if you feel differently. I think the fact that they're giving everybody's information, you know, law enforcement can just go in there and they will just automatically willy-nilly give any and all information of not just the specific member that they're looking for, but all members are subject to this. So they could just hand over record of, you know, over record of if you're a female, your age, you know, where you live, all this information, they just willy-nilly just hand over to the to law enforcement.
Mind blowing.
Right.
And I confirmed it. I confirmed with their corporate policy, and they have it in writing, that Planet Fitness has and will continue to operate or cooperate with law enforcement. And it actually lists the information that they'll give out. And what you just mentioned is what they will give out.
Right. And I think this is par for the course for most businesses, but I kind of feel like I want to say that they're kind of screwing themselves in this manner, because if people knew what type of information that they would just give up, like they don't even have to have their arm twisted, that no warrants, anything. Do you think people would still patronize that business if they knew how quickly their information could given up, or do you think they just don't care?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I'll tell you, when I went back there on Monday to cancel my membership in person,
right,
after learning what I had, I spent an hour out in that parking lot just randomly having conversation with women.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you know this place is doing this? Not one of them knew that.
Wow.
Not one of them were okay with it. I talked to probably a half a dozen women in detail. I think this is a big deal for women. And the couple of men that I talked to, they just looked at me like, yeah, shut up, woman, and walked off like, whatever. You know, we know that the majority of the population really acts on, well, if you have nothing to hide, you know, I mean, right, what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal. You have nothing to hide. You have everything to hide.
Right.
And I tell people that often. Right. I don't think people know.
Yeah,
I don't think people have the slightest clue. And how would they?
Yeah. And this, this is the reason why I really like First Amendment auditors, right? These are the people that are going out and they're going on to publicly funded land, you know, whether it be in a police lobby or police parking lot, you know, and they're doing audits. They're testing their freedoms against what these tyrants would like to take away from them. And the first question is always asked, let me see your ID. And the reason that it's important not to show that ID is because that information, whether or not you're guilty of something or not, you know, most of them definitely are not guilty of anything other than exercising their First Amendment freedom to freedom of press and, you know, all that stuff. But the reason that it's important that you not give that information is because they will put you in a database. And that database could range from a variety of things all the way on up to terrorist watch list. And that's why it's important for businesses like Planet Fitness not to give that information unless they have a warrant for that information. But apparently Planet Fitness does not care about their customers, and they will not protect their customers.
Will kept trying to tell me that the information they were releasing was just the names and the check-in and check-out time, which I thought was odd, because you don't check out of Planet Fitness. And when I asked him, you know, why those cops had enough information to physically identify me over at King Supers, he had no answer. I still have not gotten any answers about what information was released. But those cops knew exactly what I looked like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did they say that you matched a description? Like were they looking for, I mean, you know, I don't know how tall you are or what. Like, how did, like, Does Planet Fitness know all of this information about you, like how tall you are,
Well,
details?
interestingly, that day that I went in there for the first time in 6 months, they asked me to update my picture in their system.
Wow.
And so what I had on that day, they took a picture of and put in their system. I
Wow.
have a feeling after I went into that King Soopers that those cops went into the Planet Fitness and were given everything they asked for. And no, there were no stats conveyed to me by those cops. But if you watch that video again, you see that other cop walk away on the phone.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he says, "So, you're Reagan?" And I say, "My first name is Regan." "Oh, Regan, sorry." I wondered what he was doing on the phone over there.
Yeah. It
I didn't have any.
most likely on the phone with Planet Fitness or some, person telling them the information that they got from Planet Fitness. I mean, who knows? I mean, it would be interesting if you did a FOIA request on that phone call to see what that was about. But I don't know if they have a recording of it or the body cams. Are you doing FOIA requests for the body cams?
Littleton doesn't have body cams.
They don't.
They
Wow.
do
Wow.
not. They do not.
Wow. Wow. I wonder why Littleton PD doesn't have body cams. I really wonder.
Yeah, well, with all their past history, you would think that their command staff would really want them. But, now that we've passed this law, they'll all have to have them by 23. But I think they're going to push it as long as they can because these smaller police departments, these municipalities, they're going to be in big trouble because when these things start getting recorded on body cams, they're literally going to have to retrain their entire staff. I mean, look at that. You think Bashar just started acting like that day?
Oh no.
Absolutely not. That guy's been a cop in Littleton since 2012.
Yeah. That Bashard's an interesting character. I didn't do a lot of homework on him, but judging from his tattoos, and this is just pure speculation on my part, but judging from I have no problems with tattoos. I don't personally have any tattoos. There's no problem whatsoever with tattoos, but I guarantee if you were to search his tattoos, he reminds me of a guy that would have like SS tattoos or Nazi tattoos or some type of white supremacist type. He just fits the mold of that type of guy, right? So I'm not
I
saying
agree.
he is a white supremacist, but there is a white supremacist problem within the police force across the entirety of the United States. And I don't have the study pulled up in front of me, but it's been proven. There's a huge white supremacy problem within the police force. And I think you touched on something that actually should happen even without body cams. They should go through background checks of each and every one of these police officers and kick out the ones that have any affiliation with white supremacy. And they also should retrain all of them, period. They're not trained in de-escalation. They're trained in escalation. If you've seen those, again, I go back to these First Amendment audits. There's other police encounters like traffic stops that you can see these guys want problems. They don't want to de-escalate anything, and they will look for any excuse to give you a ticket, to rough you up, to give you a hard time, even if you're not doing anything wrong. I mean, I've seen them give passengers in a car a hard time. I mean, a passenger in a car is just sitting there, not doing anything wrong, and they will, want to do searches. They will want to, ask you for your ID, even though you're not even driving the car. Like there is no stop ID state in the entire union. They don't have a right to just ask you for ID unless they suspect you of committing a crime, you have committed a crime, or are in the process of committing a crime. But somehow people think that they just have to give an officer an ID, even if they didn't even do anything wrong. They're looking to hem you up.
And that,
Yeah.
yeah, I agree. And you had made a comment earlier about how the the police will go out and harass the homeless, you know, kind of as a sounding board,
Right.
a training method. I got to push back on that because it has 100% to do with them just being straight up bullies.
Right. Right.
Okay, because the homeless they're vulnerable. They're
Right.
already behind the eight ball. And
Right.
we have this conversation often out on the streets when the cops come out and they start asking for names.
Right.
The homeless are so willing to cooperate with just throwing their rights away.
Right.
I can't tell how many of them have said to me, "Regan, I didn't know that. I thought you had to ID. I mean, if you don't talk to them, they're just going to make things worse on you. You are
Right.
not obligated to identify yourself."
Let's
And
get,
Denver's bad about that.
yeah, let's get into your work with the homeless. This is probably the most important part of this whole interview. I wanted to talk to you about your work with the homeless. What does your nonprofit actually do? And I've seen the videos, I kind of know, but for people listening, what do you do in your nonprofit? And what is the name of your nonprofit, by the way?
So the name of it's Helping Hands for Dignity Coalition. And I formed it about a year and a half ago after probably 2 years of doing this type of direct street outreach, where I literally, me, myself, and some volunteers, if they're available or want to, go out and make direct contact, raw contact with people to see what's going on. To see how private charity can plug in and try to be a solution or a path to all these government failures of, ending homelessness. One of the things that I really wanted to hone in on was people in general needing to understand this chronic homeless issue
Right.
and how it's always been. It always will. And there is a faction of people out there that are never going to get housed. Now, in the middle of all this, we've got COVID. We've got moratoriums on evictions coming to an end June 30th. The homeless population is increasing rapidly.
Yes.
And we need to be more dependent on private charity. And it bugs me. People have an opinion. They don't like what they see, but they have absolutely no intent of ever trying to understand. They're all worthless. They're all drug addicts. They're all choosing that lifestyle, and it's not true. And I want to deliver the message. You'll see that I keep my YouTube channel pretty separate from my nonprofit, although the description of my nonprofit is in the about section of my channel. I need to keep my name to that because that is me. That is who I am. This is my nonprofit. I'm the executive director. I don't represent other board members. I specifically did not seat a board with the sole intent of anyone wanting to sit on that board understand my approach, understand the methods that I'm using to expose things, tell stories. If it didn't happen, nobody knows about it.
Right,
You know, I
right.
catch a lot of flack about recording out there. And these people that I work with, we have this understanding. If you want to tell your story, we need to get it out there,
Right,
you know?
right.
And from that, I've got an outstanding donor base. I mean, we're not talking, hundreds of thousands of dollars yet, but we're talking people that see those videos and say, "You know what? I want to know how I can help her or
Right.
him or what's going on with that family. What can we do?" That's the stuff that I want to be doing with this nonprofit. And I want it to grow.
Yeah.
And I want government to stay out of the way. A lot of people say, "Regan, you need to go get some government money. You need to go get some grants." Listen, this nonprofit was founded by libertarians.
Yeah.
People that wanted me to start this nonprofit liked what I was doing because I don't partner with government. I don't ask for permission for people to be able to survive.
Right.
You know?
Here's the
So,
yeah. I was going to say, you brought up something very important, the perception of homeless people. When I grew up, I grew up here in Denver, you know, on the west side of Denver, you know, kind of a, you know, hood per se. But the perception has always been like I can even remember my dad, and I've kind of changed his mind about, you know, the homeless in general. You know, it was always, you know, I was always more sympathetic toward and empathetic towards people. I always wanted to give money to homeless people. And my dad would always say, you know, you don't give money to those homeless people. All they'll do is go buy beer, you know, go buy drugs, go, you know, do this and that and the other. And so I was kind of brought up that way. You know, you don't do that because you're just adding to the problem. And as I grew, I grew up with two different trains of thoughts. One is if that person was in fact an alcoholic or a drug addict, it was because, well, look at their situation. You know, they're not exactly given the best lot in life, you know, and this is where they are now. So if me giving a homeless person $5-$10 adds to them going to the liquor store and buying a beer, well, so be it, you know. But I took even a different attitude. I'm like, being homeless is not exactly the easiest thing in the world, you know. So what is $5-$10 in the grand scheme of things going to make a difference to me? And could it make a difference for this person, whether or not they go buy a beer or go buy a hit of weed or heroin or whatever they're doing? Like, in the grand scheme of things, you know, I'm only trying to do my part, you know. So I always came up with a different way of thinking, whereas, you know, the old school way of thinking was, oh, you're just adding to the problem. Like, no, that's not true. I do it not only for them, but for me as well. It makes me feel better. So I flipped the script and I kind of made my dad think of things in a different way. It's not a glamorous life to sit up there with a sign and ask for money to go get something to eat or, you know, go, you know, get something to drink or whatever they're going to do. What they do with that money is up to them, you know. And you know, I just think people like you, actually advocating for homeless people are actually, you know, the true heroes. You know, people talk about cops as being true heroes, which I think couldn't be further from the truth. I think people like you going out and actually being a voice for these type of people are the actual heroes of this country. And they're few and far between, by the way. So I guess in the grand, what I'm trying to say, Ms. Benson, is, you know, giving money to homeless, it in the grand scheme of things, it's not adding to a problem. It's helping in a way that only you know how to help. You know, you're not going to sit there and like bring someone into your home or things of that nature. The least you could do is give a fellow human being, because that's another thing. Homeless people are not thought of as human beings to other people. You know, they're thought of as like the dregs of society. And nothing could be further from the truth. If people look at your videos, which they can do on YouTube, look up Regan Benson on YouTube. Nothing could be further from the truth. These people are people. And it's as simple as that. People are people, whether or not they have money, whether or not they have a house, whether or not they're, you know, working or not working, it should not matter. So I guess, I mean, are you seeing it the same way, Ms. Benson? I mean, you know these people better than anybody.
Yeah, because I spend the time. I make the time, because if I'm going to have judgment, I better know what I'm talking about. And that's what I tell everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to engage with me and waste my time to talk shit about my people.
Right.
I won't allow it.
Right.
When I see you come out there with me, when I see you participating in making sure that people just maybe have a bottle of water, Frank, we're not even money. Yes, that's it. That's your money. That's your gift to them. And that's that relationship between two consenting people.
Right.
Yes. You can do that. But what's wrong with just giving somebody a damn bottle of water as
I
you're sitting there passing judgment? That's water is my huge go-to. And I
Right.
yell at the cops constantly about showing up to harass people. You're going to show up to harass them and you can't even give them a freaking bottle of water? You
Yeah.
and they it makes them pause in their tracks
Right.
and they start going, oh wow, yeah, you know.
Right.
I got cops now giving me water bottles.
Right.
I'm not even kidding. They're starting to figure out that people like me and some other activists want these people recognized as human souls.
Right.
It's pretty rare in the world of police, but we have made some progress in Southwest Denver, and that's primarily where I work with a group of probably about 75 to 100 chronic, newly homeless, homeless within the last few years, entire families out there. You talked about people not understanding how someone came to the position they're in, the traumas in these people's lives.
Right.
You would never comprehend it unless you went through those traumas. And people keep saying, ah, well, they can go get help. They just don't want help. No, you don't understand how
Right.
trauma can transform your mind and make you only capable of so much. We're talking severe physical, sexual abuse
Right.
that people have endured their entire lives, and they've known nothing but
Right,
homelessness.
right. And
Drug
something,
addiction,
right,
yes.
something very underrated, in my opinion, that nobody really wants to talk about and needs to be talked about a little more is mental trauma and mental help and mental disorders. Like a lot of these people, just based on the eyeball test, can tell, you can tell that there's something not quite clicking. You know, and that's not to disparage any of these people. They're fine people. They're just trying to get by, trying to survive. But there are a bunch of mental illnesses that are have yet to be dealt with because of the amount of money it costs to help deal with these things.
Well, listen, I mean, the money's there, the care is not. The money's going right into the pockets of these organizations. That's another whole podcast for another day about these city services that Denver and Aurora say that they're providing. I'm going to tell you, it's a lie.
Right.
Government owns the messaging on, and this mental health crisis, it's real,
Right.
and it is
Right.
not getting addressed
Right.
at all.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm a big you know, I've had my podcast for over 13 years now, and it's super small. It's not, I mean, it's a very niche video game podcast, but I've always been outspoken. I mean, we do kind of a hybrid, you know, podcast that covers a variety of topics, you know, everything from what we're talking today, you know, First Amendment audits, homelessness, you know, voting rights, politics. I mean, we go through the gamut of everything, but you know, one thing that I plan on doing more work on is talking about mental health, and especially in the homeless community where the resources may be there, but they're not being allocated properly. They're not, you know, these people are not getting the help that they sorely and desperately need. I mean, not only do they need houses, which you alluded to, there's just always going to, and it's ironic because this is supposedly the richest country in the world, but we can't even provide housing for everybody in this country, which is absurd. It's absurd. We are the richest country in the world, and we can't provide housing for everybody. And then the argument that I always get from people, well, you know, then everybody would take advantage of that housing and blah, blah, blah. Well, then so be it. The country can afford it. You know,
Right.
if we can afford to go through multiple wars and, you know, for just frankly resources, why can we not afford a house for everybody in this country? It blows my mind.
Well, I will tell you with that. I kind of have this moral compass and code that, nothing is free.
Right.
This has to be paid for. Yes, I agree 100% with you about endless wars and not being able to even care for our veterans. I mean,
That's a good
that's the
point. Yep. Yep.
veterans on the street. But people need to understand that some of these people, a lot of them, they're never going to get housed.
Right. Right.
They cannot adapt. We will always have people living on the streets.
Yep.
And it is my goal for people to know that they need to be kind to these people.
Right. Yeah, a little bit of kindness goes a long way, and that goes back to my story earlier about the way that my dad perceived homeless, because my dad worked construction his entire working career, right? Which is a very taxing physical job that is not for everybody. Like, I couldn't have done what my dad did, right? So he came from this
Right.
attitude of, if you ain't working hard, physically, then you ain't working. And it just simply is not true. It's a lot of these people didn't have the opportunity, or they didn't have the mental capacity or the physical capacity or even the emotional capacity. I mean, there's a lot of women on the streets that were mentally, physically, sexually abused by whoever in their youth, and they're just never, like you said, they're never going to be able to adapt to norm, what we consider normal life.
Yeah, what is that, by the way?
Yeah,
What is normal nowadays,
right. That's exactly correct. It's a crazy world we're living in, and I'm glad there's people like you, Ms. Benson, out there, like, advocating and basically trying to take care of as many people as you possibly can, because isn't that what life's all about? Is to have empathy and sympathy and care for fellow man? I mean, yeah, you can have your perfect life, and you could not think about these things, but to not think about these things is ignoring these things, and ignoring, ignorance is bliss, is the saying. You have to see the ugly in order to feel the ugly and do something
Yes.
about it. And I think your videos are a very, very good way of starting that. Now, it doesn't look like you have a ton of videos on there. Are you gonna do more videos on your YouTube channel? Or and by the way, how did it come about that San Joaquin Transparency came about your videos?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, the first video he picked up on was back in February, and I'm assuming that other auditors or people that I've, talked to in the past sent him the video. He saw it, but it was of a cop. His first name is Kenny Berg, and he came to tell the homeless to move along. And I asked him, how do they know they have to move along? And he said, because I told them to. I said, oh, you verbally told them to? He said, yep. And I said, well, that doesn't count. So how about you move along?
Right. Was
And
this,
then it all blew up from there. And that was the first video that San Joaquin Jr. picked up. And then this last video, Valley Transparency, picked that one up. And I
Right.
am so grateful. I am so appreciative because it gives awareness around the things that I'm doing. I don't necessarily call myself an auditor, but
Right.
everything I do in this act, in this activist world, revolves really around exercising my First Amendment rights. And
Right.
I insist on getting mouthy,
Right.
because if I don't, they're going to be in shock that one day, our rights are going to be gone. If you don't use it, we're going to lose it. So
Right.
look, for those that find this speech offensive, I make no apologies for it, because I might find your lack of speech offensive.
Right.
And cops need to be tested to the fullest extent on language. And
Right.
it's just too damn bad if they don't like it. So I
Well,
have quite a few videos on there.
yeah.
I take periods of a break. Right now I'm going to be on a couple week break. I'm out of Colorado right now. I'm on a work trip. I have to work for a couple weeks. But interestingly, I am in Arizona and I will be through Phoenix, and there's some interesting things going on there with the city setting up a tent city with the homeless. And last time I was here in February, I was recording, and the police told me that I could not do that from the sidewalk. So I'll be going back to Phoenix, I think, on Friday. So you might see a video on Friday. I'm going to do a video here in a few minutes about the update on Zaina. I don't know if you saw that video on Friday night. The Denver Police Department literally stole her Jeep right off the street and put it into impound. Zaina's a 69-year-old homeless widow. Her husband just died out on the streets this past winter. Denver has completely dropped the ball in getting her any services and has decided to steal her property. And this is going to be a big deal, and we're not letting this one go. So.
I saw a part of that video. My apologies, I haven't had a chance. I mean, I watch so many videos in a day, just to learn and understand and kind of figure things out. But I am definitely going to check out that video, and you all should check out that bit, all the videos, because they're super important. Regan, I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I appreciate everything that you do here in the city of Denver, Littleton, the Denver metro area, as they say. When you're back in town, like I'm always down to do First Amendment audits and test our rights. I definitely don't want to be arrested, but I'm not against it if I'm not breaking the law, because I want to prove a point, that we do have these rights. And they can act tough. They use you talked about language, Ms. Benson. Their language is 100 times more offensive, and they just. And especially if they don't have body cams on themselves, they will use every trick in the book. And they trust me, their feelings are not hurt if you're using foul language. So I just wanted to make that point. Is there anything that you wanted to? Is there a way that people can donate to your nonprofit? Is there Where can we go to open up the wallets?
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. I make it very simple. On Venmo, I'm at HHFDC, which is Helping Hands for Dignity Coalition, and you'll see my logo, which is the Colorado emblem with some hands around it. That's at Venmo, at HHFDC. And then I also have a Cash App that is Dignity Hands. So that makes those apps real easy. By mail, 9888. West Bellevue Avenue, and that's Denver 80123. Check or money order that way. But you know what? What I mostly need, I need more people out on the streets with me. I am so desperate to have men come out and have honest conversations with other men out there about their self-worth, their value in life and society, their capabilities. There are so many good men out there living homeless that feel hopeless and that they're never gonna get back to that position of things that they used to have in life. And that's just my group of men, you know, I mean that's the majority of men out there. And I have a handful of women that can use the same kind of support. It's literally like I would love people to come out and adopt a friend. I got to come up with something catchy for that. But if I had more of me that just had a few hours a week to help some of these people to get them to appointments, to make a couple phone calls or to support them in court, there are just so many ways to get involved that's worth more than money. The money is great, and let me tell you, it goes to sanitation. I pay to have toilets out there. We do cleanup days because all everybody cares about is the trash and what that looks like. They are so willing to do those things. And I, with your donations, I buy gift cards, and people want to do projects out there. Some of my homeless friends want some gift cards, and I'll ask them, hey, could you please just go clean up this area? Or could you do this for me? And you know, they're so willing. I just I want that human connection. I need people more than I need money.
Right. And where can they get a hold of you directly if somebody wanted to do that, Ms. Benson?
Well, I publish my cell phone number on my business card, so I'm going to leave that phone number. It's 303-301-5143, or anyone can email me at Regan@helpinghandsfordignity.org. You can see all of our contact information on the website, helpinghandsfordignity.org. So lots of ways to reach out and get in touch. And I get so many emails of support, so many wonderful comments on YouTube, and it's people watching from afar. It kind of hurts my heart that I just don't have a lot of local activism around homelessness. I don't quite understand why, because a lot of people have lots of opinions.
Her name is Regan Benson, Regan Benson, I'm sorry. You can get her at all the aforementioned emails, numbers, etc. If you're in the Denver area, make sure you hook up with her. If you have an hour or two to spare a week or even more, I'm sure she would greatly appreciate it. Ms. Benson, it's been an absolute pleasure. And when you get back, we're going to have to hook up and maybe do some First Amendment audits, maybe some work with the homeless, etc. I plan on getting out there. I just have to get a really good camera. I don't want to just take my phone because if a cop takes my phone, that's kind of my entire life. So, I'm going to have to get a
Right.
camera or two and, hopefully we can get out there and raise some awareness for, our rights and, some homeless rights too, because they
Yes.
say Black Lives Matter, which I'm really an advocate for, and I feel strongly about that. But homeless lives matter too, and I think that's
They
the
absolutely
takeway.
do.
So, all right,
Yes.
any,
Anything. It's been a pleasure.
yep,
Thank
it's
you
been
for
an absolute
having me.
pleasure. Really, really appreciate it. That again, ladies and gentlemen, Regan Benson. Check her out on YouTube. The YouTube channel is about to blow up. Really appreciate San Joaquin Valley and San Joaquin Jr. for bringing awareness to huge problems here in Denver. And it doesn't look like it's going to get any better anytime soon. So if you got the time, make sure you get in touch with Ms. Benson. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank.